Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to the show. This is Minister Sanders. Today is April 26, 2015. I was intending to do another show today. I wasn't intend to do the show that I'm doing today speak on the topic that I'm speaking on today, but I just felt the need to speak on this. I want to talk about, this is just one case. The case where the Tulsa, Oklahoma Reserve deputy shot this suspect, and he claims that he thought he had his taser, thought he pulled his taser instead of his gun and shot this guy. I saw the video of this of the incident, and it was the way they handled it, it was just outrageous. Now, you know, whether the guy was criminal or not, they say he sold a gun to an undercover police officer, whatever, which doesn't make any difference. The way they handle that, and what I saw on the video from their dash cam and the body cam and the recordings of it, I mean, it was just ridiculous. If they had used the same tactics on a dog out there, and they handled it the same way that they did that, the animal rights people would be marching all over the United States. There is a culture here in America that it's certain races of people that you can just be black, and some of these law enforcement people can see you walking down the street. All of a sudden, just because you black and you walk, and you are automatically suspicious. Or maybe you in a area. Well, they said, well, this guy was in a area known for drug dealing and for this and that and whatever. You are supposed to be some kind of suspect just because you walking through that area. I mean, do everybody that live in that area, you know, if it's a poor area or what have you, everybody that's in that area, are they supposed to be criminals? Huh? Or they just happen to be in that environment. They just live in there. Maybe they can't live anywhere else. So everybody you see in that area, walking, riding a bicycle, or what have you, automatically supposed to be some kind of suspect. You don't know. I mean, the cop or the police or sheriff or whatever. But to them, you know, you just suspicious. And they'll say something like, excuse me, they want to stop and quote unquote check him out. You know, no reasonable cause, no reason to nobody's been robbed up the street, nobody called in a complaint or nothing, just somebody walking, and he happened to be a certain color, skin color, and maybe he's got dreadlocks or something, or what have you. So he's automatically a suspicious person. And I've always wondered, and I always try to ask these people when I'm at these meetings and things, when these folks are talking, and I ask, what is a suspicious person? Somebody saw somebody in the walking or whatever, and he said he's suspicious. But I said, well, what? Tell me, what made him a suspicious person? You know, did he walk a certain way that made him suspicious? Did he look a certain way? Just what was it? You know, what makes some people a suspicious person? I mean, that in itself, I mean, that can cover a lot of territory. So it's in the mind of the officer or police officer or whoever it is. It's in the mind of them. It's what they see. It's what they perceive. Now, I don't know whether these people, you know, they're mind readers. They can read people's minds. Or what is it? But they always want to engage somebody for no reason. In a lot of cases, you know, just because, well, they was a suspicious person, which doesn't make sense. And people, in most cases, most of these people, they know that, in a lot of areas, if they see a cop or whatever, hey, that's the first thing they're going to do. What? Run? Yeah, because they know basically what can happen. Because they see it all the time. They see it every day. And instead they even say, well, why did you, you know, what the, you know, just like this case where this guy, another guy, I think this was in Baltimore, one of the attorneys was saying, for the family was saying about the guy, they was, that was running, and they killed him. And so the attorney said, well, yeah, he ran, but the only problem was, the only problem was he didn't run fast enough, because they know what's, most times know what's going to come down, you know. And this other guy, let me go back for a minute, this guy here in Tulsa, here in Oklahoma. Now, even the body cams showed. Now, look, this guy, they had this guy on the ground, face down, three or four of them on him. And this guy, one of the cops, he's got his knee on the guy's head, laying flat on one flat side of his face and head, with his, all his body weight, with the guy laying flat on the ground. You know, these people are evil. They are brutal. They are liars. And this stuff has been going on in America for years and years, and it's still going on. And these people ahead of these police departments and so forth, they can come up with more lame reasons and excuses about, well, they followed the proper procedure. If the guy, excuse me, if the person died, or what have you, he died from another cause. He died because he had a heart condition or something, not because three or four guys was on top of him with their full body weight and just kept the guy where he couldn't breathe or what have you. They got all these excuses. Plus, these departments, they're gonna investigate themselves. I mean, you know, when you belong to an organization that, you know, you, when something happened, you know, you're not subject to the ordinary laws like everybody else. You can go in and investigate yourself. That's pretty good, you know. That's pretty good. That's a pretty good organization. I say that tongue in cheek. Pretty good. What I'm saying is they've got it good. And you think they're going to go against each other in some investigation? You think the public's supposed to trust these people doing their own investigation? I've seen some stuff myself. The reason I'm not talking about some of this stuff about what I heard somebody say. I've seen case after case after case after case of all these shady things that have happened to certain people in the custody of law enforcement. I have seen it myself. I have been subject to some stuff, and I'm not going to get into details about it. I'm just going to say what I know happened, and I know stuff was made up and lied, because I'm not a criminal, never have been, but that didn't stop them. And this has been going on for years. I'm not sure how long people here in America, I'm not sure how long America as a whole can turn its back, basically, and not do anything, and not hold these people accountable for what they're doing. But I'll tell you this, I know one thing I do know. You know, the chickens coming going to come home to roost sooner or later for this type of behavior here in America. You can't have part of the population who think they can ride shotgun, ride herd over the other part of the population or certain races in a population and think they can get away with it. It just won't work. People are getting tired of it. Now, when something happened, now, I'm not saying that all the police or all the law enforcement people are bad people. But I do say this. If they're the good folks, I'll put it that way, the good men and women of law enforcement, stand back and watch their fellow man or woman or what have you commit these type of things, and they don't say anything and they don't speak up, they might as well be out there having them doing what they're doing. Because you know, if you see it going down, you don't say anything, you don't do anything, you don't try to stop him, you might as well be helping the guy do whatever it is that's doing wrong. Now, I can understand the reluctance of some of these people, because if somebody's in these departments and they don't like a lot of the way that some of the officers handle themselves or handle cases or handle people or whatever, they're afraid to really stand up and say anything, because these people, you know, if they're in the minority, the people that's looking at these people doing this stuff, these other people would retaliate against them, and they have lots of ways to do stuff that they can retaliate and hurt these people. They can, you know, I've heard of cases where guys stood up and said something maybe about some case that they know they didn't think was right, and you know, they had their windshield smashed in the car, they had their tires slashed, and you know, there was different things that happened at the different precincts where they worked at. So they have to people who want to do the right thing, they have a lot of pressure on them, because you know, they got their jobs, they got their families, they got their livelihood, they're trying to pay their bills and so forth. They have families, and in a lot of cases they just really can't afford to be on the wrong end of these people. But just like I'm telling you, we're gonna have a disaster here. Something is gonna happen. I mean, this cannot. You know, you can keep doing wrong. You can keep getting away with stuff for so long, and sooner or later, something will happen. Now, I don't condone people running around, you know, ambushing police and so forth, innocent police and so forth. I don't condone that. But you got, it's something out there. You got people out there. And every time you really, every time these people, these departments get away with something, and in most cases, really just get away with murder, I'll put it that way, you alienate hundreds of people. You alienate thousands of people, because they know they may not can do anything about it. They may have lost their case when it come down to trying to get justice. But you didn't convert them to the side of the law enforcement departments. You didn't the people. Hey, these people have in their mind, the young people, and a lot of these people, they see how they've been treated. They see how they're treated, and they may not have no power on their side, but you know, you build up this resentment. You build up this in this people, in these generations of people, and you know, they know that these a lot of these law enforcement people are not their friends. Now, in a lot of cases, these police departments and so forth, they want to go out and they say, well, we're trying to do this in the community. We're trying to show the people it. But you know, if you just because you're going out and you're handing out some food baskets or some sandwiches and you know, a picnic or what have you, and you don't correct the wrong in the way things are being handled, you know, you basically just spinning your wheels. So this is not good. Now, you might say, well, what has this to do with the price of a pound of butter, you might say. Well, it's this. When you pick up your Bible and we're looking at things to come, especially some of the things that predicted to happen in the book of Revelation, all of this stuff ties in together. You can't separate what goes on every day from what the Bible says about what goes on and what is going on, because That's why we got wars. We have all these wars and rumors of wars, and we just had an earthquake yesterday or what have you. We having all this upheaval in the weather. We're having floods in some parts of the country and droughts on other parts of the countries. You got volcanic eruptions, and you got these terrorist groups and all of this stuff. All of this is spoken of by God in the Bible, and especially in the book of Revelation. So I'm saying about the case that I'm talking about today, hey, it's there in the book, it's there in the prophecies, all of this stuff. And that's why I say, you know, we don't pay for this. We can lie and hide stuff and think that we here in America, we got two classes of citizenry. You know, you've got the people who think that, you know, America belongs to them, and the other people that are here. And a lot of us full parents have come over here and worked and made the country rich and what have you. And even though they were freed from slavery, everybody, these people still want to keep you second-class citizens. You know, everything is good enough for certain folks, but it's not good enough for another group of people. And this is what happened here. These people have made up their minds that they're gonna do, and they're gonna, you know, well, it's just like this. They'll say, well, these Negroes, or you wanna call them black folks or whatever, they this and they that. And a lot of these people, they've got this little secret thing, this little secret society, and these little unspoken rules that they go by. And one of them is this: they want to do whatever they can do. Anytime, in other words, the opportunity. Well, anytime we have an opportunity to brutalize a murder, well, they don't call it murder, a Negro, or what have you, we gonna do it. And that's what they do. If you are black and you are out somewhere in your car and you happen to be going through a predominantly white area, I just don't want to say neighborhood, I just say area, and your car break down, you better not go to some of these folks' house and knock on the door and ask for any help. If you got a cell phone or whatever, if it'll work, you better be calling AAA or somebody to come out there and help you. Because they will shoot you just for knocking on their door. You know, you're automatically suspicious if you're black. And all you gotta do is knock on the door, come in the yard or whatever, and you know you can't go there just as just going to another person's house or neighbor. You say, well, my car broke down the road or whatever, could you call someone, whatever? Nah, you stay at your car, and if you got a cell phone, most everybody has a cell phone, you try to call AAA. Or get you some help out there, and you stay there. Because, and then if you're in that area, it might not be too safe anyway, because it all depends on where you are. A lot of these folks driving through, they want to mess with you, you know. So, You have to use your head. You know, you don't be thinking that well, you know, everything is hunky dory, and you know, there's no you know, there's no race problem. You know, we all the same. Well, you might think that, but you need to wake up, 'cause it's not you know, you know you're living in an illusion. And a lot of these guys, I've seen several cases. Case not too long ago, a few months ago, this guy living in this area, I guess it's very small town. I think it was somewhere in South Carolina or North Carolina. I don't remember where. And this young kid, he was a what was he? I don't know. Was his last year in high school? He was a football player, football star, whatever. But anyway, they found him hanging. He was hung. They found him somewhere. I don't know. Was it was in a park? Must have been 3 or 4 months ago. So much stuff was happening. But anyway, and so he had went out jogging or something. But anyway, he didn't come back home. And when his parents was looking for him, and folks found him, that's where they found him. Now, I don't know what come of that case, but anyway, you know, the powers that be, usually in the area like that, they lie, you know. Well, he hung himself. Well, that was some of the stuff that come out. They say, well, he was depressed or something. He hung himself. Now, everybody knew that was a lie, especially his parents. And but there was a little thing that you kind of connect the dots. He was known to have a white girlfriend, I'll put it that way. He was known to have a white girlfriend that he was seeing or dating. Now, am I saying that there was somebody there that really wasn't too happy, somebody in that community that wasn't too happy with him, being a black guy dating this white girl? I'm not saying it is, and I'm not saying it's not. But you read between the lines, you know, you figure it out. I mean, you know, let's, you know, we know what's going on. We know how these people think. And when a lot of these cases come up, these suspicious cases where people, these folks are supposed to commit suicide or find somebody hung somewhere in their corners and so forth, say that, oh, he hung himself, or he did this, or he beat his own brains out. What have you, you know, shot himself in the back of the head 3 times, all kind of nonsense. This is what they come up with. And, hey, they investigate themselves. They have their own coroners, the good old boy networks, you know, the sheriff's department, the police department, whatever. Most of them are friends. So who's going to investigate who? So who's going to give you a fair shake, you know? Is the district attorney going to, you know, bring an indictment against somebody? 9 times out of 10, there won't be. But people need to wake up. Black people need to wake up and smell the coffee and just, you know, admit the way it is. We got a lot of people saying, well, you know, that, you know, there's no racism. I know some a lot of black people saying, well, there's no racism. All racism done away with, you know. And they, what happens is they are in a certain position, you know, and are kind of well off, and so people that they deal with, they treat them differently. They treat them a certain way, especially, you know, in public. And they don't see that. But you know what? I tell you what, you pull off your pull off your $500 suit, get out of your, you know, BMW, drive your old raggedy car, put on your some ordinary clothes, and go out in these some of these communities where these people don't know you, and see what happened to you. See how, you know, see how you're treated. Then you can find out really what's going on. Well, I see my time is about up. So I'll see you next time. God bless.